What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
If there was a thought bubble over my head when we came out, it would have been, okay, there it is. The energy, the intensity, and it was definitely good to see that. There would probably be some other stuff that you wouldn't have wanted to see in that thought bubble at the half, giving up some scores into those spaces. So those were a few of the things I liked. I was excited to see Debo run. Honestly, I'd been on the other side of that, and I know what that movie looks like, so that was cool to see. Saw John Bates again in the run game. I felt all the presence with him. And I felt the D-line active early. What I told the team, these penalties, you know, they cost us. We had a fourth down penalty, and those were the ones I thought, man, like, that's our winning time. We've got to nail those. And then coming out for the second half, I liked some of the intensity. I thought the run game, you know, early was better than late. But more than our last outing, intensity better, tackling better. But we have much to clean up to get to the standards that we want to play at.
Dan Quinn last night. That was his opening statement. He just gave you a game take from last night. But that first part, the energy, the intensity, it was definitely good to see that. And that is what coaching is all about sometimes, getting your team to play with that level because they respond to you. Now let's get to my game take. All right, the good. And there was a lot of it last night. Again, you know, caveat, preseason, Cincinnati playing some of their starters, some not. Washington the same offensively. They had a lot of their projected week one starters not on the field. You know, there isn't really a lot of game planning. The idea of winning the game, I know that this is contrary to the way many people operate, is not the priority. It is player evaluation for the most part. I'll start with number one on the list of good. Like I said, in the open, and Quinn said it as part of his opening statement, I just thought that from where they were against the Patriots, which seemed to be lack of energy, again, different player group that was out there for the most part, not a lot of effort, enthusiasm. Last night was completely different on both sides of the ball and even on special teams. Number two on the list of good, first drive on offense. I don't care what level of football it is or what type of game it is, an exhibition or whatever you want to call, you know, these preseason games. When you can rush the ball 74 yards on four plays, that is, you know, a bit of a statement. You know, it started with the Debo jet sweep for 19 yards on the first play from scrimmage. I've been, you know, very adamant that if he stays healthy, and that's a big if, and it's a big part of the narrative with Debo, I get it. But I just have a feeling that this dude is poised for a big season. We know he's capable of it. He'll play with the best quarterback he's ever played with. He'll play in a scheme with Cliff Kingsbury that will really suit his, you know, gadgetry, weapon, you know, skills, all around versatility. And of course you have to add, he's playing on a contract year. That first, you know, jet sweep against a terrible defensive team last year, and maybe again this year, who knows? It just looked like vintage Debo, and I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. May have been a little bit of a statement, too, like, hey, we got a lot of different ways we can move the football on offense with the weapons we have, even if we don't have our number one wide receiver right now. He looked great. Then came Chris Rodriguez with, by the way, some help from John Bates, ripping off a 40-yard run. Then two plays later, it's JD, 14 yards, scramble. That second play that Quinn talks about, you know, the play extension, he is elite level at that. It's him and it's Lamar and it's Mahomes. That's the list in this league of the quarterbacks that are devastating once the initial plan breaks down. You know, I guess there was a certain level of angst with him running, and would he take a hit? He really didn't get touched until he got around the goal line, and nobody was going to lay him out there in a preseason game. Again, a reminder, you know, on one play, four plays in total on the drive where he didn't drop back but that one time, just how lethal he can be and just how much he and his presence as, you know, an everything quarterback raises everybody around him. Number three on the list of good was the second drive offensively without Jaden in the game. Josh Johnson came into the game, but how about three plays, 44 yards, touchdown run from, yes, Ja'Cory, a.k.a. Bill Krosky Merritt, 27-yard old-school Hogs counter Trey. And he didn't get touched until he had crossed the goal line. And once again, John Bates, wow, big-time block. Merritt saw it, exploded. Hard to ask for a better two-drive preseason result offensively than seven plays, 118 yards, 106 on the ground, 17.7 yards per carry. And they did it in just 3 minutes. 14 points in 3 minutes. Let's go through the individuals. Jaden, of course, again, you know, I mean, you don't see it in practice. You're not going to see it maybe even in a joint practice where, you're going to see it in games, even in a preseason game, where he is deadly. He's so good on schedule. He is lethal off schedule. And you don't see that until the real games begin. But you saw a glimpse of it last night. God, is his vision and feel in the pocket spectacular. One of my sons texted me after that touchdown run, and he said, "Dad, I don't think RG3 ever had the vision that JD has." No, two completely different players. Deebo Samuel on the list of good. One carry, he looked great. He's my pick, really, to have a huge year. Of the players that, you know, everybody maybe is split on, I'm not talking about the players that we know are very confident will have a big year, like Jaden. But I think Debo's going to have a big year. We'll see, because health is everything. If he's healthy, you know, he has a chance in this offense to have a huge year. Clearly on the list of good, both running backs. Chris Rodriguez is powerful. I think he's got good vision between the tackles. Six carries, 62 yards. That equals 10.3 yards per carry, including that 40-yarder on the opening drive of the game. And then you got Bill Krosky Merritt. Excellent vision, really good burst, 11 for 46, 4.2 yards per carry with that 27-yard counter Trey touchdown run. I was surprised, I don't know about you guys, I was surprised he was in there in the second half of the game. I was curious as to why they wanted to see more of him than Chris Rodriguez. Assuming that both will be on the final roster now with Eckler and McNichols, because I think Eckler and McNichols are givens, and I think, you know, Krosky Merritt, I think, you know, Chris Rodriguez has to be a given. Remember, they only kept three running backs last year on the final 53-man roster before the regular season began. I think they have to keep four. Brian Robinson Jr. will be gone, whether by trade or by release. But I wonder who will take the field in the opener against the Giants on that first offensive drive of the game. I wonder who it'll be. I think that's a conversation we'll get to have here over the next few days, maybe even this morning. I thought it was interesting. I didn't think we needed to see any more of Krosky Merritt. You know, they had other running backs they could put in the game to play out the game with Josh Johnson and Sam Hartman, but there was old Bill in the second half getting carries. On the list of good, John Bates. You know, he is one of the best blocking tight ends in the league, and it is why they prioritized re-signing him when free agency began. They got it done quickly with Bates. They did not want to lose John Bates. He's an extremely valuable part of what they want to be, especially in the run game. I thought the rest of the offensive line, even without the couple of the pieces, obviously no Cosme, no Coleman, no Tunsil last night, but I thought that the offensive line did a great job. Keep in mind, and I think we all understand this as NFL fans, Cincinnati was horrendous last year on defense. They swapped out defensive coordinators. There's been a lot of discussion, in Cincinnati during the summer that some of their younger players and the new DC, that they're going to be different, and if they can just get Hendrickson back, etc. It's the preseason, they're not game planning, but man, they looked, to me, they looked slow defensively, and they looked feeble defensively, and Washington dominated up front. Offensively, in those first two drives, it's really hard to find anything that you don't like. There's one thing that I will mention about the opening drive that I think could be a bit of a negative. I'll get to that when I get to the list of things that were not good in the game. Also on the list of good, I thought Quan Martin was good last night. He nailed the tight end sample right before he got into the end zone on that third and goal. And then he made that big hit on the Chase Brown touchdown run. Brown just barely got the ball to break the plane, but I thought Quan Martin picked up where he left off, towards the end of last year. I'm trying to think. I had somebody on the show not that long ago, a player a few weeks ago, I'm forgetting who it was, who said that Quan Martin has been a standout and there's a lot of belief in that locker room. Who was it?
Was it Smoot?
Did Smoot say that? Smoot really likes Tyler Owens. Was it Johnny Newton? Did Newton say Quan Martin?
I think it might have been Johnny, yeah.
Yeah, it was Johnny Newton who said Quan Martin. Jalen Lane. We've heard a lot about him in this camp. His speed, his playmaking ability, we have a sense that he'll certainly open the season as the number one punt returner, but more on that coming up. He looks the part, man. He looks like he's got really good separation ability off the line of scrimmage. He's got good hands. He obviously is a deep threat. Again, hard to be sure because the Bengals are not great, we don't think, on defense. And some of his work came against backups and even backups to the backups. But three catches and a really good catch on that opening drive of the second half. But 3 for 42, a punt return for 11 yards, a kickoff return for 22. Jalen Lane, to me, looked the part on offense. And I would imagine, in addition to being a punt returner, there's going to be a spot for him to contribute offensively. It'll be interesting with Debo out there and Jalen Lane. We've seen him line up, the X. But I don't know what it'll be in the regular season. Defensively, there were a couple of players in addition to Quan Martin that stood out to me. Will Harris stood out to me. Cleland Farrell stood out to me. Dorrance Armstrong, who I think is going to have a big year this year. I have a feeling Armstrong is going to be a really good player for this team. Number 51 on defense, Cahoe, yeah, out of UCLA. I thought he just looked like a really good tackler and a very active player. I don't know much about him or what they think about him. Who else is on this list? Tressway had a great punt at the end of the first half, no surprise. But 50 yards net, 53 gross out of your end zone is pretty big. And hey, Matt Gay didn't miss a field goal. His only attempt was a chip shot from 27 yards out. But that was good to see. And, the kickoffs are going to be interesting because everybody's going to be kicking that ball into the landing zone this year. You're not handing the ball to the other team to start at the 35-yard line.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most. Exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right. The things that I did not like the bad from the game last night. Again, too many penalties. You know, again, a lot of that is sloppiness associated with players playing with each other that won't necessarily play with each other during the regular season. But two of the big ones came early on the Bengals' opening drive. Frankie Louvu, too excited on 4th-and-3, jumped, gave the Bengals a first down. And then the defensive pass interference with Noah Eye matched up against Jamar Chase, gave the Bengals first and goal. Had a sack by Dietrich Wise that was, you know, basically overturned by a horse collar. I thought that was a questionable horse collar, for what it's worth. 7 penalties for 74 yards. You know, some key penalties defensively on that opening drive. That's not going to make Quinn super happy. They want to clean that up. They want to be, you know, a sharp team, a team that doesn't beat itself. And by the way, helps itself more often than not with takeaways, something that they did not have last night. There was the Burrow, you know, getting sacked on the horse collar play, just unloading the ball in a way in which it would have been a fumble. Cincinnati recovered that. And you had the Cleveland Farrell play on Browning that almost knocked the ball loose, but they called that an incomplete pass. But yeah, they got to, you know, we'll see what happens in the regular season when, you know, all of the starters are playing. But I know that that's probably something that irks the head coach. And I think he mentioned it as part of that opening statement. You know, they gave up to the kid from Purdue, who's now been in the league, what is Charlie Jones? Is this year 3 for him? He is, you know, got real game-breaking ability as a returner. I think he's got a couple of touchdowns in the league. Look that up for me. Doesn't he have a couple of touchdowns in the league in a couple of years as a returner? He took that opening kickoff, and he was just a shred away from breaking it. It was a 30-yard return on the opening kickoff. But last week, giving up Travion Henderson's opening kickoff return for a touchdown, it was almost 2 for 2. So that was something that I'm sure they want to get cleaned up, and we'll see. Look, a lot of starters end up playing on teams, and they don't do that in the preseason. And then Sam Hartman is on the list of things that weren't good from last night. He just doesn't look really as a thrower like an NFL quarterback. You know, Sam Hartman at Wake and then at Notre Dame was, you know, a big-time running quarterback. You know, you had triple-option football when he was at Wake Forest in college, and he had some prolific football games at Wake, you know, when you go back to, like, 2022. You know, but I think that Hartman looks like the odd man out. You know, that might be practice squad. And I think Josh Johnson, if they keep 3, is QB3 on this roster. Johnson threw a bad pick. Hartman just stares down receivers. I mean, he nearly threw a pick 6 on his first throw. He did throw a pick on his second or third throw. He came back in the second half, you know, and had a couple of decent throws. Jalen Lane, you know, bailed him out on one of them. But I don't know. Sam Hartman, to me, doesn't look... This is hardly, you know, an out-on-the-limb statement. He just doesn't look like an NFL quarterback, right? He just doesn't. And Josh Johnson has that mentorship ability like Mariota does, the high IQ. You know, I think if you got down to QB3, God, you know, help us if they do, you would be much better off having Josh Johnson in the game than Sam Hartman. Other observations from the game, a couple of them. First of all, how about Mitchell Tinsley? You know, a guy that was on this roster, signed as an undrafted free agent in 2023. And we saw some of this ability and talent. I thought it was very interesting to hear Joe Burrow talk about Mitchell Tinsley on the sidelines, saying that hopefully he's locked up a spot. He's incredibly smart and is really good. I mean, they are loaded clearly at wide receiver. Too bad he's not here, right? Obviously, I think a lot of people felt the same way. But the 2 touchdown catches, the catch in the middle of the field where he tipped it to himself, 5 for 73 with 2 just insanely great touchdown catches. He was, you know, a big part of last night's story in a preseason game. I thought, you know, another observation, I thought it was interesting how many opportunities they gave to Kaz Allen. This is a guy that we've talked about every summer for the last 3 summers. Ben mentioned him, you know, a few weeks ago as a guy that they like and that they're going to give opportunities to because of his explosiveness. Kaz Allen last night was back for three kickoff returns and was also back on a punt return. Jalen Lane, by the way, was, you know, back on a punt return and also back on a kickoff return. Remember, with the new kickoff rule being that the ball comes out to the 35, not the 30, in a touchback situation, we are going to see a much higher percentage of kickoffs get to the landing zone. You saw that last night, both teams. You know, these little chip kickoffs. It's funny, Washington's were lower kicks into the landing zone. Cincinnati's, I think, a little bit higher with some hang time. You know, it's you can't move until the receiver either touches the ball or the ball hits the ground in the landing zone in terms of those seven players lined up at the 40-yard line. I don't know what they're going to do in the return game, but Kaz Allen, the last coaching staff, loved his upside. This coaching staff clearly loves his upside. The kickoff return rules changing means there are going to be more kickoff return possibilities. Because of the rules, you really have to have two returners back on kickoff returns. Could Kaz Allen make this team as a fifth running back, but also as a primary kickoff returner? I doubt it. That's a lot to keep at the running back position, even though he would be a designated weapon. You know, They clearly gave him an opportunity. And, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, three kickoff returns, 82 yards, 27.3 yards per return, including a 33-yarder where he got flipped into the air. And then, you know, the one punt return, you know, he back there for two of them. He fair caught one of them, and he had a very short return on the other. Jalen Lane, I think, is going to be the punt returner. I think that's one of the reasons they drafted him. And he might be one of the two kickoff returners as well. But Eckler could be that other guy if they want Eckler back on kickoff returns. Do they really want to expose Eckler to that on kickoff returns? Going to be interesting to see what they do. Rodriguez could be that guy on kickoff returns along with, you know, a Jalen Lane. But they definitely gave Kaz Allen, you know, we've seen this. This is the third straight summer of coaching staffs believing in his ability to be a game breaker as a returner. And he showed something last night. Thought last night that Joe Burrow being in the game as long as he was in the game. Look, I'm not a Cincinnati fan. I do like Joe Burrow, but God, he took some shots. Like, Washington defensively was very aggressive last night. You know, even when they didn't blitz but showed blitz, they got after quarterbacks. I thought, by the way, Jake Browning did a phenomenal job in the face of pressure last night. Joe Burrow took an unnecessary hit or two in a preseason game. He got out of it unscathed. But they clearly do not think that doing things the way they've been doing them is a prescription for a fast start. So they completely changed it up. But last night they had Joe Burrow in there after the first series for another two series. Was he in there for three or four? Maybe three total. But it wasn't with other frontline starters, and it was in front of a makeshift offensive line going in. You know, Ben Baby, who covers the team for Cincinnati, said a big concern is kind of the offensive line going into last night's game, which, by the way, I should have added to kind of the good list, which is I thought Washington up front defensively looked great. But again, you know, that was a makeshift and a little bit, you know, injury-plagued offensive line. I couldn't believe, though, how long Joe Burrow was in the game. How about Jaden going to fetch the ball for Bill, you know, after the touchdown run? This guy just gets it. And then I thought Quinn missed a challenge opportunity in the first half. Look, you don't get the obsession over these plays by the broadcast in preseason games. But number 80, Yoshi Vash, who was a big part of what they did last year, you know, is kind of their third receiver. I thought he had a catch over the middle where he was then stripped, and I thought the ball was out before his knee hit the ground. There was no challenge of that. He did challenge something else, though. Anyway, I think that's it. I think that's pretty much it. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. What did you like? What didn't you like? If you want to weigh in on my thoughts on Terry no-showing, have at it. If you want to weigh in on which of the two, Chris Rodriguez or Bill Kroski Merritt, is going to be in the starting backfield on opening day, you can weigh in on that. I do not have a guess on that. Rodriguez was the first one in last night, right? He was with the first team offense on that opening drive. I don't know if that's the clue, because I don't think we're going to see much of anybody else. And we also saw Kroski Merritt in the game in the second half. We did not see Rodriguez in the game in the second half. You know, we've all liked Rodriguez. I think we have. I have. I think a lot of you have felt the same way, because every opportunity we've had to see him in an actual regular season game, he's looked the part as a runner. There was always kind of this disconnect with, what don't they love about him? Why do they keep cutting him? Why do they keep bringing him back? Why do they keep putting him on the practice squad? I think there was a lot of other stuff going on, but he is talented as a runner. He is powerful. He's yards after contact. He's great in short yardage. You know, he came up big in the Atlanta game, you know, in the fourth quarter of that game. I think he's got good vision between the tackles. But I think Kroski Merritt has, you know, other attributes, same level of vision, but a bigger burst, you know, more of a home run threat. I think my feeling yesterday on the show was that Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be replaced, you know, in the aggregate, as, you know, Billy Beane might say on Moneyball. But, you know, by committee, really, which is a mix of Debo, Kroski Merritt, Rodriguez, Eckler, that's the way they will do it. McNichols, and they feel like that overall group just is a much better situation than bringing Brian Robinson Jr. back at $3.4 million, not only in payout, but in salary cap space. And you don't get anything back for B-Rob next year. You might get something back now, although I think that's, you know, dicey. And I think it's a 50-50 coin flip on whether or not they end up releasing him or whether they get, you know, a conditional sixth or seventh back for him. All right, phone lines open, 301-230-0980. You'll hear sound throughout the morning from Dan Quinn and others from postgame, and some of the highlights from last night as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, you can stream us, watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel, and all of our training camp and preseason segments here on Team 980 are brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico.
All right, here's what's happening on this August 19th. It is Tuesday. The Commanders, they played the Bengals on Monday Night Football last night. JD5 and the starting offense largely played only one series that took four plays, including a 40-yard rush from Chris Rodriguez and a 14-yard touchdown run from Jaden Daniels himself. It was a rough night for the second and third stringers on defense as Washington falls 31-17 to the Cincinnati Bengals. Tonight, your Washington Nationals take on the New York Mets. Jake Irvin on the bump tonight versus David Peterson, looking to get back in the win column after falling to the Phillies on Sunday. First pitch at 6:45. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.